The greeting in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make an altar unto God. This is the theme for our meditation this afternoon. Have you ever taken a journey or have you ever gone on a trip where you took a detour? Maybe you saw something very interesting and you decided to take a detour. But as a result of the detour, you got lost. Or maybe as a result of the detour, you wasted some time. You had an important thing to attend to, but because of that distraction, you now have lost track of the original path that you were taking and the original destination that you were heading towards. And now, you may have wasted some time, or worse still, you are now lost. And then you have to get back on track. How would you get back on track? In some of these navigation exercises during either national service or some of these school camps where we learn to navigate, one of the ways to get back on track is to try to backtrack. That means walk back the same path you came from, hoping that you can reach a particular landmark where you can again get your bearings. Sometimes if you try to get back on track, you may even end up more lost than you were originally. If you try to wander around, bashing through the trees or the jungle, hoping just to get back on track somehow, you may end up even more lost than you were originally were. And this was the situation of Jacob over here. He lost track. He was lost. The Lord wanted him to return to Bethel. And that was why the Lord sent this vision, and in a very miraculous way, the Lord provided for Jacob. The Lord made Jacob wealthy and rich. And by the time he left his father-in-law Laban, we know that he was no longer the same poor and helpless person he was when he first fled from Esau. When he fled Esau, he left Beersheba and he went to Haran, or he went to this place. Another name for it also was Padan Aram. At the time, Esau was so poor, so helpless, but by the time he left his father-in-law, Laban, when he left Haran, he was a relatively rich man. But remember, he left because the Lord called him to return to Bethel. And as he was returning and journeying to Bethel, what happened? Instead of going straight to Bethel, Jacob first went to this place called Sukkoth, and then later he went to another place called Shechem. Now, although the Bible does not tell us how long he remained there, we know that it would not just be for a couple of days. It would even be for several months, even years, because the Bible described how he built his tent before the city. That means that he was prepared to settle there. He made booths for his cattle. So he was getting ready to settle there. And this was when Jacob went off track. Even though he declined his brother's invitation when he met Esau, when Esau invited him to come with him to Seir, he was right in not going with Esau to Seir because the Lord wanted him to go to Bethel. But he ended up in Sukkoth and in Shechem. And we saw in chapter 34 what happened. When you walk on this path and you head in this direction that is opposite from the direction that the Lord wants you to take, what will happen to you? We saw how Jacob and his family fell into this terrible sin. He remained silent in the midst of all these things that happened when his own daughter was raped. And then he was even contemplating coming into an agreement, into a covenant with the Canaanites. That was, of course, something that would be most displeasing to the Lord. By this time, we believe that Jacob was already saved. He had this experience in Bethel earlier on, where the Lord appeared to him in this Jacob's ladder. And then on a second occasion, he even had this experience of wrestling with the Lord, where his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. While we do not know how long transpired, it was long enough for Jacob to forget these experiences, or at least to ignore these experiences. And this is where Jacob now had to get back on track. And this theme that we are meditating upon today, making an altar unto the Lord, it is really reminding us of the need to get right with God. Have you also, like Jacob, got lost? Have you gone off track? Have you headed in a direction that you know it is not where God wants you to head towards? Have you been distracted? Whether you are distracted by your ambition, distracted by the entertainment, distracted by the world, you are just simply distracted from where the Lord wanted you to head towards. Where are you standing now today? Which city are you located in? Are you still in Shechem? Are you still in Sukkoth? Or are you in the Bethel that God wants you to be? Do you know and do you realize that we are already coming to the middle, or rather we are passing the middle point of this year? This year is in the first half of this year, it is almost up. We are coming to the end of June. And where was the path that God wanted you to take? What was the direction you were heading towards in the Lord? What was the Lord's will for you that you knew that you were obeying? Whether it be various areas of service, whether it be the calling in life, the vocation that God has given to you, what was this path that you were walking in? But are you now lost? Have you gone off track? Have you set up your tents and your booths in Sukkoth and in Shechem? And have you remained there for a long time? Maybe you say that I will just be here for 1 year or 2 years. Maybe after my national service. Maybe after my studies. Maybe after completing this or that, I will return to the Bethel that God wants me to be in. But where are you today? And that is where the making of an altar comes back in. Now, we do not know exactly how long has transpired, but in chapter 35, the Bible now tells us, God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God. Now, from Shechem to Bethel, the distance was actually not very far. Okay, it would be about 45 kilometers from Shechem to Bethel. I mean, of course, from a Singaporean's point of view, it may be quite far, but in reality, it was not a very long distance. It was not a very far distance between these two cities. But even though the city was very near, somehow, for one reason or another, there were certain things that hindered Jacob from returning to Bethel. It could be because he enjoyed this wealth and this prosperity or the land in Shechem. Maybe he came into an agreement with the people, but for one reason or another, he remained in Shechem. But now the Lord had to get him back on track. And the Lord spoke to him, arise, return to Bethel and make an altar. Now what is an altar? An altar is simply a structure that is made up of stone and soil, where it is used on various occasions to worship God or to be a memorial unto the Lord. Where it is used at times and as an expression of thanksgiving. When the patriarchs, before the days of the law was instituted in the days of Moses, where the Levitical law was given to the children of Israel, where they had this tabernacle that was designed for them, where the structure, the design of the altar was also given to them, where the altar would then be made up of metal. This kind of altar would be an altar that would be made up of stones or soil, which they would just set up. And this altar will serve as a memorial, where it can be used as an expression of thanksgiving when the Lord has delivered them They can set up this altar unto the Lord. It can be also used as to express their worship unto the Lord. And this is what the altar was. It was a symbol of worship. It was a symbol of sacrifice. It was a symbol of consecration. It was also a memorial. And that was what the Lord wanted Jacob to do. Jacob may have set up an altar in Shechem, which we saw later, earlier on in chapter 33. If you read at the end of it, he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. He may have set up an altar in Shechem, but that was not where the Lord wanted that altar. He thought that he could be here and say that, can I consecrate and dedicate myself to you, Lord, and set up an altar for you here? Either he was ignorant or he was deceiving himself. But the Lord wanted him not to set up an altar in Shechem. The Lord wanted him in Bethel. And there are therefore three things in light of this that we can learn regarding consecration, regarding sacrifice, regarding making an altar unto the Lord. As you make an altar unto the Lord, make sure you make an altar in the right state. It is not just about the altar itself. You may set up the altar, you may take the effort to carry these stones and lay each stone upon another and build this altar. But if your state is wrong, this altar will not be pleasing to the Lord. This act of consecration, this act of sacrifice, and this act of worship will not be accepted of the Lord. If you want to offer an altar or make an altar, make sure you do it in the right state. And this describes the purity. You can see that now from verses 1 to 4. As the Lord spoke to Jacob, now remember that in those days, it was not a frequent occurrence where the Lord would appear to a vision in them, to them. You know, sometimes when we read the Bible, okay, when we look at these different episodes where the patriarchs or the saints, they have a vision from the Lord or they had a dream from the Lord, we may be very envious. How I wish, you know, that God would speak to us today in the same manner. Sometimes that's the way we think. But let us not be envious of that, because we must remember and realize that they did not receive these visions and these dreams every day. It was not a common occurrence. See, for example, the Lord speaking to Jacob in Genesis chapter 35, it would be at least, okay, somewhere, maybe 7th or more years since Jacob left Laban, or when the Lord appeared to Jacob in Laban, because we know that he continued in with Laban for a few more years before he departed. He served there at least for 14 years, and then at the end of it, before the whole miracle of the animal that was ring-streaked and speckled took place, was an additional 7 years. And then when the Lord appeared to him at the end of that, from that time to this time in Genesis chapter 35, several years would have transpired. So it was not a frequent occurrence. It could be several weeks or months or even several years that would have transpired. And so this is one thing that we must not be envious of. You know that sometimes we say that I wish that the Lord would speak to us through this way, because what we have today, it is the Word of God. Where at any time you want to know God's direction, God's will for you, you can open the Bible to read it and study it and know God's will for you. Jacob did not have this privilege that we have. But here the Lord spoke to Jacob. The Lord spoke to Jacob and told him, now come up, arise out of Bethel. So this would be something that would be very striking for Jacob. It would be a very clear message to him. There will be no doubt in his mind that this is something that he now needed to do. And Jacob obeyed. But in his obedience, what was required of it? Before he even make this altar, before he made this altar unto the Lord, what did he do? You notice how the Bible now tells us in verse 2. Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. And this is where you need to make the altar in the right state. To make this altar in purity. Jacob, somehow together with his household, it could be that Jacob himself may have no part in it, but we do not know for sure, but his household at least was involved. And when he remained silent all this while, he was as guilty as they were. Somehow the household have gotten strange gods unto themselves. It could include his wives, it could include his servants, it could include even his children. They have gotten strange gods amongst them. Now, how did these strange gods come about? Well, the Bible does not tell us. There is a clue. When we go back to Genesis chapter 34, where we see the behavior of his daughter. In the first place, Dinah, in verse 1, the Bible tells us, she went out to see the daughters of the land. And what land was that? This was the land of Canaan. And in those days, remember, the land of Canaan, it was still an idolatrous land. They were still an idolatrous people. It was not yet the promised land in that Joshua has not conquered the land yet. We have not even come to that time. So the people of Canaan, the land of Canaan, would be an idolatrous people. It would be an idolatrous land. And I believe that it's not just Dinah who went out to see the daughters of the land. And the idea there would be to make friends with the people of the land. To be a part of them. And this is where I believe that they got these strange gods. And this is Jacob's responsibility. This was Jacob's failing. By remaining in Shechem instead of going to Bethel, he has led his family unto idolatry. And that's why now the Lord, when the Lord asked him to return to Bethel, Jacob knew and realized, this is time to wake up. This is time now to purify ourselves. He should have done that earlier, even before the Lord spoke to him. He should have done that. He did not need this voice of the Lord to tell him to do this, because he ought to have known that this was the right thing to do. But I believe that as the Lord spoke to him, this shows us the urgency of the matter. This shows us the seriousness of the condition that Jacob was in. And the Lord had to say, go back, return to Bethel, get him back right on track. And Jacob was obedient. And for all his faults, and for all his failings in the past, he woke up by the grace of God. And he got now his household. He told his household, put away the strange gods that are among you. And now let us arise and go to Bethel. There was no more bargaining, no excuses, no hesitation. And he said that this is now what we must do. One thing that Jacob saw, which moved him to want to return so quickly, was how he saw that the Lord took care of him, even in his day of distress. You see that in verse 3, he says, who answered me in the day of distress, and was with me in the way which I went. Remember at the end of Genesis chapter 34, after what happened to the people in Shechem, where his sons Simeon and Levi murdered the people there, he was very afraid. He thought that the land, the people of the land, the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, they would surely do them harm. He was afraid of that. But you look and you see, and Jacob recognized that no harm came upon him. Even through all these years, how the Lord showed him and gave him favor with Esau, and how the Lord protected him with Laban. Surely this is the Lord who was with me in the days of distress. I cannot worship these idols anymore. I have to forsake them. I have to give them up, cut them off, and return to Bethel and turn to the Lord. And this was what his household did. They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. and all their earrings which were in their ears. Now these earrings here could have some idolatrous significance. It is not that earrings in themselves are inherently wrong, but in this particular case, these earrings here could have some idolatrous significance, which was why they gave them up. And now they hid them in this oak tree, underneath the oak tree, which was by Shechem. Now it's very interesting. Okay, this is not the focus of our study, but many years later, okay, in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua will lead the children of Israel in the same spiritual exercise. And one of the things that he would do would be, if you look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 19 to 28, it would be Joshua would ask the people to forsake also their idolatry, and then he took these idols and he also buried them under this oak tree, and a large stone was set up as a witness. And this would be many years later. So Joshua, even in the days of Joshua, the people remembered and saw this important episode and this important act. Jacob forsook these idols. Jacob cut off these idols from him and from his household before you can make an altar unto the Lord. Forsake your sins. Purify yourself. Offer an altar or make an altar in the right state, in this right spiritual condition. Are there any sins and idols that you have been holding on to for these many years? And of course, these idols may not be physical, literal idols in objects that a person worships. You may not worship a physical image, but it can be a spiritual idol, something that has taken your heart away from the Lord, something that has consumed your mind. It can be your work. Your work can become your idol. It can be a particular entertainment. That entertainment can become an idol where you are just unwilling to forsake it, unwilling to give it up. It can be a sport. It can be an addiction. It can even be a person. Anything that takes your heart away from the Lord, it is an idol. And how can you then consecrate yourself? How can you then honor the Lord, worship the Lord, and even give thanks to the Lord if there are still idols in your heart that you have been holding on to? You may try, you may pretend to set up this altar, to make up this altar in worshiping the Lord, but as long as there are still secret sins in your heart, as long as there are still hidden sins in your heart, things that you are unwilling to give up, you are still in Shechem and not in Bethel. Before you can make this altar unto the Lord, give these things up. Get rid of any associations that you have with the world. Get rid of any sinful associations. And at times it may require a very painful cutting off. If it so requires that it may please the Lord, maybe you even have to cut off sinful associations with sinful friends who have been influencing you into the things of the world. Do not underestimate the influence of these associations. It could be an ungodly relationship. It could be an dishonoring friendship. Are these things that have been an idol in your hearts that does not allow you, cannot allow you to worship the Lord with clean hands and pure hearts? Put these things off. And that was what Jacob first had to do. Before you can make an altar unto the Lord, make sure you are making an altar in the right state. And then you may say, what if you do not want to make an altar unto the Lord? Because there may be some who have this sinful thought, and in maybe even this sinful reply, says that, what if I don't have the desire to make this altar unto the Lord? Then the question is, how long more do you still want to remain in this world? Do you not see the mercies of the Lord upon you? When you could have been so easily consumed Just as Jacob could have been so easily consumed by the world, by the surrounding nations, by the enemies about him, the Lord preserved him, the Lord protected him. And why did the Lord protect him? It's because the Lord is merciful. And as Jacob now heard the voice of the Lord calling to him, come back to Bethel and set up this altar. Do you not hear the same voice of the Lord calling to you? Not in an audible way, but even through his word. Is the Lord not speaking to you? Come out. Get out of that place. And be where the Lord wants you to be. And make an altar unto the Lord. Get rid of your sins. And then the second thing that we see. As you make an altar, you must make an altar in the right state. Jacob also must make an altar in the right place. And that's what we see now from verses 5 to 8. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. It could be that Jacob may have entered into some form of agreement with the various cities around them. And that could be one of the reasons why they had these idols as well. Because in those days, as what we saw, similar to Laban, the occasion or the case with Laban, some of these images or idols were a form of agreement. So Jacob could have entered into some form of agreement even with the cities around them. But now as he's about to leave, what will happen to these agreements that he has made and entered with them? He could have genuine fear. He's now about to leave Shechem. And he's about to return to Bethel. But he was not too worried, because the Lord was with him. And the Lord placed terror into the hearts of all the people of the cities that were round about them, that they did not pursue Jacob. This was really the Lord's provision for Jacob. And it teaches us one very important lesson. When you obey the Lord's will, when you walk in the path that God wants you to take, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will protect you. And unless the Lord allows it, or unless the Lord permits it, no one can harm you or touch you or hurt you. Of course, there may be occasions where, according to his own will, he may so allow afflictions to come upon you, trials and testings to come upon you. But we know that this is all within God's sovereign control and sovereign will. But where the Lord does not allow it, no one can harm you. But what you must do is you must make sure you are in the right place. And this was where Jacob had to get to the right place. Obeying God's will, making an altar unto the Lord, is where you must be, where God wants you to be. And that's the question. Are you where God wants you to be? For Jacob, it was not very far, about 45 kilometers. But yet, his heart was so far. Sometimes, being where God wants you to be, it is not a matter of physical distance. It is not a question of inconvenience. It is not a question of difficulty. It is whether you are willing, whether you will obey. And Jacob had to learn here that his safety, his protection, his security is in the Lord. We do not know why he wanted to make friends with this land, these people of the land of Canaan. Could it be that he entered into alliances with them, maybe thinking that Esau may do him harm in the future, and he wanted this security and this backup? That is possible. But he had to learn that security and safety is of the Lord. Are you where God wants you to be? You may have headed in a particular direction because you thought that that would give you that sense of security and safety. I know that the economy now is very bad. Many families are suffering. Many of you also may be going through very difficult trials. So where you are now, it could really be a very difficult place. a very trying place. And a temptation may be, as you think about your security, as you think about your safety, as you think about your future, it could be that you are now doing what the Lord does not want you to do. It could be that you are where the Lord does not want you to be. Maybe you have taken on some jobs where you know that it is questionable. Or maybe even in the practice or in the principles concerning your family, the direction that you are heading to, you know that it is not pleasing to the Lord. You know for a long time that this is not the Lord's will for you. But you say that I have to do that because this is my security. This is my sense of safety. I know that living in Singapore, there are many practical considerations, many things to think about. But you have to realize provision is of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. Security is of the Lord. Then there's no safer place that you can be than to be in the center of God's will. If you still try to keep looking to all these things around you for their sense of security, you will have to learn in a very painful and hard way how these things will one day fail you. Maybe up to now, you may say that, oh, all these things have been doing so well for me. But make no mistake about this. One day these things will fail you. One day you will see these things for what they really are. And sadly, sometimes when you realize that, it will be too late. Are you where God wants you to be? Jacob had to return to Bethel. And that was what Jacob did. He had to make that trip. He has to make that journey. And that involves giving up of certain things. Not only the idolatry, but it involves giving up the place where he was settled in, the place where he could have been very comfortable in. But he knew that that was not where the Lord wanted him to be. And that is where you need to ask yourself. Are you where God wants you to be? You may be very comfortable where you are now. But if the Lord has shown you, this is where he wants you to go. This is the right place. This is the right path. Will you now turn away from this wrong direction that you're heading towards or unto? Or can you head away, turn away from this distraction or this city that you are now in and turn to the Lord? Be where the Lord wants you to be. And that was what Jacob did. He turned back to the Lord. And that was a spiritual journey that Jacob took. Now there's a very interesting episode that is mentioned over here as well. And that is concerning Deborah, Rebekah's nurse. So Deborah took care of Rebekah at her old age. Hey, Rebekah would be Jacob's mother. And we do not know when or how Deborah came to be with them. It could be that Deborah brought news concerning Rebekah's old age and death. Because by the time when Jacob returned back to Bethel, Rebekah actually had died. So it could be that Deborah brought news concerning that. And Deborah was also here. So Deborah was already now someone who was old. So we do not know any other detail concerning why Deborah was there or the purpose to Deborah being there. But the Bible recorded this account of how Deborah died, Rebekah's nurse, and Deborah was buried under the oak tree. And the name of the place was called Alon Bakuth. This means the weeping, oak of weeping. And so it expresses the sorrow that Jacob experienced. Now one possible application or lesson that we can draw here was how Jacob must have grieved in the passing of Deborah, because it also describes the passing of his mother, that Rebekah died. By the time when Jacob returned to Bethel, Rebekah was no longer around. And that was what Jacob would grieve over. Hey, there's no other details mentioned or to us concerning this account, but what the Bible tells us here was that Jacob was now ready to return to Bethel. And as he returned, He had now to make an altar in the right way. Make an altar in the right state, make an altar in the right place, and make an altar in the right way. Now, when I describe making an altar in the right way, I'm not saying how you build the altar, but rather make an altar in the right way in terms of the direction ahead, pointing forward. Where Jacob has come from, where Jacob has left, he has now left Shechem. He left Haran initially, he ended up in Sukkoth in Shechem, but he has now left Shechem. And now he was to turn to Bethel, go to Bethel. But from henceforth, what was the path that he had to take? What was the journey forward? What was the way ahead? He had to make sure it is the right way ahead, the direction ahead, where he will continue journeying on, where he will continue walking towards. It must be the right way ahead. And this is what we see now over here, where the Lord really blessed Jacob. As Jacob now returned back to Bethel, now verse 9, the Bible tells us, God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. So Padan Aram would be the area of Haran. So when Jacob came out of Padan Aram, now the Lord blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. This is the same blessing with which the Lord blessed Jacob earlier on when Jacob wrestled with the Lord. Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob. You are no longer a usurper. You are no longer a deceiver. But Israel shall be thy name. Israel is the prince of God. And he called his name Israel. Now this is a repeating of what Jacob has experienced earlier on, and what God has already given to Jacob. Why was there this repeating? I believe it's a renewing of this covenant. For the years where Jacob was in Canaan, in Shechem, he lost sight of this covenant. He lost sight of who the Lord wanted him to be. Could he have been overwhelmed? I do not want to be the prince of God. I do not want to be a nation of God, a nation of the people of God. Maybe he was so overwhelmed with that. That could be why he avoided it. But now the Lord renewed this for him, and he had to willingly obey. Now you can see that earlier, okay, the description of when the Lord gave this promise and this blessing to Jacob is found in Genesis chapter 32, verse 29 onwards. But now the Lord wanted him to be Israel, no longer Jacob. And the Lord says, I will be with you, and I will give you all that you need to be who I want you to be. See this in verse 11. God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. One reason why sometimes we avoid doing the will of God is because of the weight of that responsibility. We may be afraid of what is required of us if we choose to obey. There are many things where if we choose to obey the Lord, there are sacrifices to be made. There are things that if we choose to obey the Lord, there are burdens to carry, responsibilities to bear, difficult decisions to make. And perhaps that is one reason why some are hesitant in obeying the Lord, because disobedience seems so much more convenient. Disobedience seems so much more appealing. Disobedience at times seems so attractive. And that's why we hesitate in obeying the Lord. And of course, this is not a good excuse at all. But this is just merely a reflection of some of the struggles that we face. Why we do not want to obey. We do not want the pain. We do not want the inconvenience, the sacrifices that come with it. But here the Lord says, obey me. Be who I want you to be. And I am God Almighty, the Lord said to him. How comforting this was to Jacob. Jacob, his problem was that he looked too much to himself. He looked too much at himself. He has been depending on himself all this while. See, for the most part of his life, all that he had and all that he was what he strove to get. It was through his cunning ways that he got the birthright out of Esau. Later, it was again through deception he got the blessings of his father. Even in the days of Laban, he thought that it was through his manipulation that he got himself rich. He was, in his mind, someone who always depended on himself, someone who made himself successful. But he had to learn. It was never him. It was always the Lord who was merciful. And now, in the days ahead, as you consecrate yourself to serve the Lord, as you make an altar, as a sacrifice to serve and obey the Lord, you may be afraid, but know that the Lord says He is God, and know that the Lord says He will be with you. For each of us, we have a different calling. I mean, for Jacob, his calling was to be the father of a nation. And that is why the Lord's blessing and the Lord's promise here was to be fruitful and multiply, and the Lord will make him a nation, and a company of nations will be of him. Because this is not the same for us, because we are not called to be a nation today. But the principle we can draw here is what the Lord wants you to be, what the Lord wants you to do, the Lord will provide sufficient grace for you. But you must make an altar in the right way, where in the path ahead, make sure you obey the Lord, make sure you trust the Lord, make sure you do what the Lord wants you to do. You know, sometimes it's very sad, especially sometimes when there are students. You know, when exams are coming, and it could be the final year exam, there are students who pray for the Lord's leading and direction, that maybe after secondary school, or maybe after university, this is the place that they want to go to. You know, or maybe after tertiary institution or poly or JC, then they say that I want to go to this university, I want to study this subject. And then they think about their future, what I want to be, and things like that. And by the grace of God, you know, the mercies of God, the Lord provided these things for them. Then they say, I want to do this, I want to work in this line, in this field. And then the Lord provided this for them. But as they now enter into that field, they enter into this vocation which the Lord has given to them, they forget. They forget that it's God who has given this to them. They have forgotten that the Lord has provided all this for them. And in the days ahead, in the years ahead, they have forgotten all their prayers, how the Lord answered their prayers, how the Lord helped them. And sometimes these things end up becoming like a curse to them. And that's why it's rightly been said, and just because there's something that you receive, the thing in itself may be a curse or may be a blessing. That thing itself may not be a blessing. It's not automatically a blessing. If you use it in such a way where it dishonors the Lord, it can become a curse. It takes your attention away from the Lord. It takes your attention away from service. And that's why it's very sad. You know, when they are searching, when they are hoping, then they pray, Lord, please provide this for me. And in the midst of that, they are very faithful in service. But the moment the Lord has provided this for them, then suddenly their service is affected. Then suddenly they are lethargic. They are not as faithful. Then has it become a curse unto them? And this is where we need to trust in the Lord, that even in the days ahead, the Lord will provide. But we have to make sure we continue in the right way. Jacob is now going to be Israel. And for him, the Lord wanted him to be the father of nations. But his assurance was that God will be with him. How comforting verse 13 is. The Bible says here, God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. God talked with Jacob. God spoke to him. And this is the same where God today continues to speak to us through his word. God talks with us through His word. But will you obey Him? Now Jacob then set up this pillar in the place where God spoke to him, and Jacob called the name of the place Bethel again. Now the name Bethel has already been given earlier in Genesis chapter 28. By calling the name of this place Bethel again, the house of God, Jacob was renewing this covenant and renewing this promise and reminding himself of what God wanted him to do. This is where God wants me to be. This is who God wants me to be. Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel. Will you continue walking in the right way? You make an altar. The altar is a symbol of consecration, is a symbol of worship, is an expression also of thankfulness. But as you make an altar unto the Lord, make sure you do it in purity. And as you make an altar unto the Lord, make sure you do it in the right place, where God wants you to be. And as you have made an altar, make sure you continue in the right way. For that is what consecration is. There are too many who have made consecrations with their words, with their lips, but not with their lives. Made promises, but have not kept them unto the Lord. Now the right way then is not to avoid consecrating or to avoid making these promises unto the Lord, but rather the right way is you consecrate yourselves unto the Lord. You surrender yourselves unto the Lord and you obey Him. And by God's grace and with His enabling, we can obey Him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our merciful and loving God, indeed, when we truly reflect upon our lives, we see how Thou hast always been with us. Even sometimes when we may not recognize it, or sometimes when we refuse to acknowledge it, but yet when we reflect and we search our hearts, we can truly see as always Thou who has been with us, and Thou hast always been so merciful to us. O Father, we pray then in seeing what a faithful and loving God we have, that we will make an altar unto Thee, where this will be an altar of sacrifice, this will be an altar of consecration and of worship. And Father, we pray that Thou will help us to make this altar in purity, to make this altar in the center of Thy will, to be where Thou wants us to be, and make this altar desiring to continue walking close to Thee. Help us, O Lord, we pray, for we know that in ourselves we are weak, and so often we have failed Thee. But we thank Thee that Thou art always gracious and merciful and ready to restore. We thank Thee for this Sabbath day where Thou hast provided these means for us to worship Thee and also to listen to Thy word. And may Thou continue to guide us and lead us even in the days ahead, that according to Thy will, we can gather again physically to worship Thee in Thy house. But nevertheless, we know that Thy timing is always the best, and help us to trust in Thee. We want to thank Thee for this hour of worship and continue to be with Thy people. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.